Once the verse is on the wall, everyone stand up and honor the Holy Scriptures. It's from Psalms 58, verse 3 through 11. Even from birth, the wicked go astray. From the womb, they are wayward, spreading lies. Their venom is like the venom of a snake, like that of a cobra that has stopped its ears, that it will not heed the tune of the charmer, however skillful the enchanter may be. Break the teeth in their mouths, O God. Lord, tear out the fangs of those lions. Let them vanish like water that flows away. When they draw the bow, let their arrows fall short. May they be like a slug that melts away as it moves along, like a stillborn child that never sees the sun. Before your pots can feel the heat of the thorns, whether they be green or dry, the wicked will be swept away. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Mankind will say, surely there is a reward of the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. You may be seated.
That was quite a prayer, eh? Well, just so you know, the sequel to It's Going to Get Worse, It's Going to Get Better, has temporarily been postponed for today's message, titled The Christian Identity Imprecation Against Fake News. Enough is enough. The horrible abuse of power is so far gone that there is no political spine to address the problem of how we receive information. Even with the election of Donald Trump, the mainstream media, or MSM, is out of control, although it is very much controlled by an insidious group of madmen. Most of Christendom is totally unaware of the court of divine justice, for lack of a better term, whereby we have an appellate jurisdiction when all else fails. When Moses could not adjudicate an impasse of the law, he had recourse to take it directly to God to reconcile. I could sit back and watch America being raped and plundered, but that's just not me, and I hope it's not for you either. And I don't think that's the position of many white Christian Americans. But a lot of folks are flustered as to what to do. Yes, prayer is fine and dandy, but we can go one step further in what's called imprecatory prayer, which is a curse upon the enemies of God. When God said, I make peace and create evil, in Isaiah 45:7, and that's in the King James, which is better translated, I think, in the NASV, which says, causing well-being and creating calamity. It was meant as a recourse for Israel to assail its enemies when they had exhausted all remedies for their hopeless plight. That is the situation we find ourselves in today. The MSM seems impervious to the crusaders of truth. In fact, instead of being guardians of the Republic, they are obsessively preoccupied with disinformation and political correctness. We are virtually discombobulated against an army of liars. Therefore, the following is a biblical plan of action to resolve the rampant sea of confusion with a national campaign of prayer and fasting for a remnant of believers who have the faith that God will hear our cries and deliver us from evil. Trump remains an enigma. Wherefore, we must take the initiative and exercise the only white power that remains for true Israel. Fiat justitia ruat caelum, which is Latin, meaning let justice be done though the heavens fall. We might catch a lot of flack for this kind of spiritual warfare, but we do whatever it takes no matter what. Trump is not a Cyrus or a great white hope, but regardless of who is president, God is in control of what we need most, and that is Christ. We cannot entirely exclude Trump from God's plan for the ages. Otherwise, there would be no headline of fake news. The origin of contemporary fake news began with the mainstream media accusing non-MSM reports, meaning the internet, of Pizzagate, reports of rampant pedophile activity in our nation's capital being fake news. Well, this in turn backfired on the MSM, itself perpetuating the fake news and blatant cover-ups of pedophiles permeating the Washington, D.C. establishment. Most Americans know that something is terribly wrong with our nation, but the truth has been hidden from them. If anyone thinks the media is the bastion of honor and integrity, they are part of the problem. We know the media lies and distorts the news of a protected class of citizenry, primarily those who qualify as Antichrist, as defined in 1 John 4:3. God's sole purpose for Trump may be to stop the pedophiles from advancing their perversion, which is culminating in a war between the president and the mainstream media. Now, Trump may never drain the swamp, but he could wipe out a few major cesspools. Trump may never understand Jews or race, but it is not beyond the scope of God's power to miraculously change him. I've received many notices to pray for the man, according to 1 Timothy 2, which says, I encourage, first of all, to make supplications, prayers, petitions, giving of thanks in behalf of all men, in behalf of kings, and all those who are in preeminence, in order that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all piety and reverence. End quote. Yeah, I was reluctant to pray for President Trump because of all the Jews he surrounds himself with and his Negro worship. Until I realized we don't have a very peaceful and quiet society, quite the opposite. Of course, there would be no obligation to pray for the previous resident of the White House, which would have been a violation of God's law, Deuteronomy 17:15. Even King David respected the delegation of authority to King Saul as legitimate from God, even though Saul disrespected the office with unrighteousness. I have never attempted to organize a national campaign of this nature before. But after a series of four witnesses in 1 week, I am compelled to follow the leading of the Spirit. The first witness was from Pastor Don Elmore, who simply expressed a hope for the renewal of the Court of Divine Justice formed by Pastor Everett Ramsey in the late 1980s. And we'll have more about him later. The second witness was Koine Greek scholar William Fink, who posted on his Christogenia forum, quote, "I hope to initiate a discussion on fake news and perhaps learn how to take advantage of a situation," end quote. The third witness was from my lovely wife, suggesting to me that one of our prayer leaders at church lead us in imprecatory prayers against the media. But the clincher and prime motivation for merging the prior witnesses was an email from an Identity Christian brother that encapsulated the spiritual yearning that many feel. The fourth witness stated, quote, "I have been following national events closely. My personal conclusion is that right now, Pizzagate is driving all the vitriol against Trump. Pizzagate and the fear of exposure has made our enemies desperate. I believe Trump has known for a long time about the existence of the worldwide sex trafficking. He has seen the deterioration of our country and wanted to do something about it. I think we both agree that Trump cannot solve our problems and he does not represent any long-term answer. I voted for Trump because I wanted some justice in this country. I want the lid blown off for good. I believe at some point everything will be exposed for the world to see. But my preference is sooner than later. I personally have had enough. On the mercy justice scale, I'm ready for public stoning. I see no repentance. What I see is a vast sea of Satan-worshipping witches, and we should not tolerate them. I realize that I can't have public stonings, but the net of this is that we cannot win a spiritual battle with physical force. We are in way too deep. We need to go on the offensive. So, here is my request. I would like to see our people commit to prayer and fasting. Assuming you agree with me, I would like the word to get out to our people, to our churches, to our websites, newsletters. As a group, we need to unite our efforts. I don't think there is much time. From what I'm hearing, as soon as the weather turns dependably warm, they, and he means the radical leftists, will march on Washington, D.C. and trash it. Obviously, that is a rumor, but it is not out of the question in this political climate. In closing, I have decided to start this on my own, but I have no contacts or any way to get the ball rolling. If you are in agreement, can you spread the word in any way you see fit? End quote. Yes, I can, and I will. I think his words speak for thousands of our people who have been spared from the mind control of Babylon, but don't have the wherewithal to fight the beast. We are no longer alone. We have a God-given tool to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and judgment. We hate evil. I'm not only in agreement, I'm taking it to the next level. Why not make it a national campaign? Our nation's posterity is at stake after all. This is not the Mark Downey Project or a promotion of my ministry. I have no idea how many people it takes to pray and fast to initiate some kind of divine intervention. But I think all God cares about is the quality of faith from a remnant of believers, making his glory all the more profound. The concept belongs to the body of Christ. And in my humble opinion, the body of Christ can only be found in white Christian Israelites who have not bowed to Baal or forsaken God's law, or willingly embrace fake news. The reason for the latter is that Christians have the good news, or the Gospels, not news that loves a lie. My only role in this is to facilitate participation and provide maybe a little inspiration for a very just cause. Besides the imprecation against the whoredom of mainstream media, it is also has a residual effect for children under siege right now. Our project is not political, nor an endorsement of Trump, the GOP, or conservatives. It is purely Christian in duty and spirit to fight oppression and help the helpless. I plan on contacting many identity Christians and as many pastors as I can. Although there are some pretenders who have a record of sabotaging our community and will not be contacted. There are some with whom I respectfully disagree with on certain doctrines, but that's irrelevant to the pressing call that we should all respond to. Now, I've known families in our community who have had their children stolen from them by government agencies that are nothing less than fronts for the pedophile racket. The government is not here to help us, but to help themselves as a parasite on a host carcass. But it's worse than that. The commerce of child sex slavery has exploded in supply and demand. Even John Walsh, the TV host of America's Most Wanted and more recently The Hunt, whose own son was abducted and killed, cannot report the full facts of satanic ritual murder in which Pizzagate is protected by CNN and the rest of the MSN, including Fox News, with the Megyn Kelly interview of James Alefantis, owner of the faux pizza place to service pedophile clients, talking about a staged gunman, or as it turned out, a registered actor, who walked into his restaurant with an AR-15, firing one round in his establishment, saying he had to do something for the children. Are you kidding me? Now, there's a smoking gun for you. And fake news. The following quotation was taken from the Department of Health and Human Resources website, which said, quote, Europol, which is the law enforcement arm of the EU member states, not to be confused with Interpol, estimates that human trafficking is now a several billion-dollar industry per year. U.S. government figures approximately 600,000 to 800,000 fall victims annually to human trafficking worldwide. While in the U.S., 14,500 to 17,500 are enslaved, forced, or coerced into unthinkable situations. These victims, young children, teenagers, men and women, are subjected to force, fraud, or coercion for the purpose of either sexual exploitation or forced labor. Stated simply, human trafficking is modern-day slavery. End quote. Wow. While all forms of human slavery are abhorrent, child slavery is especially despicable. It's heartbreaking to learn that there are children worldwide who are forced to participate as sex slaves in elite government mafia-controlled pedophile rings. What's even worse is that in a growing number of cases, government-sanctioned agencies like CPS, Child Protective Services, and orphanages, foster homes, nannies, and adoptions, as well as the courts, are being used secretively by these same perpetrators to procure a steady supply of children to use and abuse as sex slaves, and worse. The Clinton Foundation has been implicated with this deplorable criminality in Haiti and elsewhere. Right now, there is a white kidnapped child somewhere, locked away from public notice, awaiting their next torture session, gang rape, or ritual sacrifice. Behind this sick abomination of perverts is the reign of Satanism and pedophilia working hand in hand. The government is involved, and the major media monopolies are complicit. Behind the curtain is the puppet master, the Antichrist Jew. We never would have heard about Pizzagate from the mainstream media, and the only reason they have stepped into the story is for damage control and diversion. It all started when WikiLeaks released emails from Hillary's campaign manager, John Podesta, on October 7th, 2016. The emails were not hacked by the Russians, which continues to be the fake Trump card, if you'll pardon the pun, played by the MSM, where accessories in cahoots with liberal Democrats, hysterical Satanists, and protocol-savvy Jews, because the Attorney General Jeff Sessions is on their trail, sniffing down their scent like an Alabama hound dog. Last Thursday, former CIA agent Robert Steele suggested the Democrats' push to remove Sessions from office, led by House Majority Leader Nancy Pelosi, has, and this is what he said, every chance of succeeding because Attorney General Sessions has made it clear he, quote, will not back down under any circumstances. Praise the Lord. Since Trump took the oath of office in January, federal authorities have locked up more than 1,500 people on child trafficking and pedophile charges, and that is being totally ignored by the MSM. General Michael Flynn was fired because he is animate about Pizzagate. His own son was fired from the Trump campaign before the election. And Flynn did not tell Vice President Pence about a list of high-level pedophiles because one of them was the vice president's best friend. Pence probably got his information from an NSA tap, which is still operating in the capacity of spying and leaking whatever they want. I don't think Pence is to be trusted. He has his fingers in the swamp. Not to drain it, but to plug it up. Beware of spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6:12. There are enough people in the intelligence community who still have their moral compass and leak the dirty business of Clinton crimes against children. So why all the media hype about the Russians? They're the scapegoats for the biggest story in history. Russia is a diversion and distraction from the world's biggest child trafficking and pedophile ring ever, which goes beyond party affiliation or national boundaries. Pizzagate is a door of opportunity to bring this scourge of pedophilia to the light of day and prosecute the wicked perpetrators to face the justice of divine law, one way or another. That door will close should good men do nothing. In fact, the mainstream media is desperately trying to slam the door in our face. Should a Christian identity imprecation against these monsters succeed and go all the way up to the top levels, it means the Bushes, the Clintons, the Obamas, senators and congressmen, judges, police chiefs, and all other prominent figures will either be going to jail or meet the hangman's noose. Obviously, the vast conspiracy of Sodom and Gomorrah realized that not one shred of evidence can be allowed into grand juries or any other venue that could taint the public perception of us conspiracy nuts, that we might be right. They will say or do anything to prevent that from happening. That is, they will lie and murder to be safe. However, they have neither safety nor license to sin if Christian prayer warriors petition God to intervene. Let us pray that evidence, the smoking gun, comes forward. Let us pray for a minority of journalists and researchers who have not sold their souls to the devils. The gravity of the present situation weighs heavily upon us. As we know, history is wrought with conspiracies from JFK to 9/11, and even more sloppy false flags like Sandy Hook and Orlando. We are well conditioned to the rough road of rejection by proselytizing our rightful identity. We're the true Israel. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. I would be remiss in not saying that along with prayer and fasting, it is incumbent upon ourselves to be repentant and clean house. Otherwise, we're just hypocrites praying. Those who conspire to know that they must inculcate the notion that we don't need Christ, and they then can add all that is in the world, found in 1 John 2:16, to their insanity. Christian identity is the closest thing to the first century apostolic church in the world today. The fake church cooperates with the fake news, and both hate white Christian America of an exclusive racial ecclesia. The fake church has let sodomites enter the congregation and even put them in positions of leadership. When the Pope says, "Who am I to judge the gay movement?" which is a stepping stone for pedophile priest, we should be outraged and ask, "Who are you to give our children as prey?" No Christian should let any form of Hindu tolerance pervade our hallowed ground of worship. The gates of Gehenna have prevailed against the 501c3. For many are called, but few are chosen. Then the Pharisees went and plotted or conspired how to entrap him, Jesus, with his own words. The fake news is not the good news, because it cannot say, in all of these things, we are more than victorious through he who loved us. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor messengers, nor magistrates, nor present nor future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Romans 8:37. That is the spirit of our imprecation against the Antichrist purveyors of habitual lies and immorality. The scribes were the enemy of the good news that the called out ones of God declared. The scribes today are the media whores that demonize white Christian America, and their prey is our children. I've shared a quotation from journalist John Swinton for many years, which itself has been accused of being fake. But nothing resonates more clearly than the truths expressed by him. At a banquet in 1880, given in his honor by leaders of his craft, someone gave a toast to the independent press. Swinton was so outraged that he replied, quote, "There is no such thing in America as an independent press, unless it is out in the country towns. You are all slaves. You know it, and I know it. There is not one of you who dares to express an honest opinion. If you expressed it, you would know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I am paid $150 for keeping honest opinions out of the paper I am connected with. Others of you are paid similar salaries for doing similar things. If I should allow honest opinions to be printed in one issue of my paper, I would be like Othello before 24 hours. My occupation would be gone. The man who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the street hunting for another job. The business of a New York journalist is to distort the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread, or for what is about the same, his salary. You know this, and I know it. And what foolery to be toasting an independent press. We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are jumping jacks. They pull the string and we dance. Our time, our talents, our lives, our possibilities are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes." End quote. 1880. Fast forward to a couple Wednesdays ago, February 22nd, on MSNBC's Morning Joe, co-host Mika Brzezinski, daughter of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is Rockefeller's brain, stated President Trump could have undermined the messaging so much that he can actually control exactly what people think, and that is our job. End quote. She has already denied the import of what she said, tweeting quote, "Of course, that is obvious from the transcript, but some people want to make up their own facts. Sad." You know, it's sad that her dim-witted host of the show, former Congressman Joe Scarsboro, concurred by saying, "Yeah," right after she said, "That is our job, to control people's thinking." Now, I've listened to about half a dozen videos from different sources, and most of them cleverly edit Joe's "Yeah," so it doesn't give the impression that they really did slip up and tell the truth. Fake news cannot tolerate the truth. Media whores know quite well that mind control is their turf. None dare call it news outside their domain. I mentioned prayer earlier, and our little church has been praying for Babylon to fall. When Mika lost control of the words coming out of her mouth, I couldn't help but think of the power of our God to control what people think. That's His job. "Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them." Jeremiah 5:14. Let us pray that the media whores lose control of their faculties to speak. I'll stop right there. This is just off the cuff. Because every morning, I'm hooked on Morning Joe. Just because it's so horrible. And my wife and I get to have our little hate fest before she goes to work and before I start my job. Because every morning, you can see one lie after another, to the point where it's what makes you laugh makes you cry, right? If God could speak through Balaam's donkey with a man's voice, He certainly can speak through a scribe's mouth the truth of God. Let us pray for a plethora of Freudian slips, or at least take note of overt admissions like the one from David Rockefeller, and start connecting the dots. This is what he said. "We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. But the world is more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers are surely preferable to the national auto-determination practiced in past centuries," end quote. In other words, he prefers dictators to liberty, to we the people, to determine our own destiny. If anyone thinks Pizzagate is an exaggeration of internet conspiracy theories and that there is no proof for such an outlandish claim, remember that we haven't been able to get beyond Lee Harvey Oswald or 19 hijackers flying commercial jetliners into skyscrapers in the Pentagon. And guess what? Those two tragedies are linked to the same cabal of liars and murderers that we want to focus our imprecatory prayers on for 40 days starting March 23rd. We are putting our crosshairs on the fake news of the MSM that protects an insidious underground of perverts and child molesters. Let us pray that the power of global elitists, elite sexual predators in government, will be exposed and prosecuted with all the evidence needed to put them away. The truth is out there, begging for justice, but the wicked think they are above the law. Well, not God's law. Imprecatory is a petition in the court of divine justice. We are pleading our case directly to God for intervention. There have been good men pursuing the cover-ups and stonewalling for decades. Ted Gunderson, retired head of the Los Angeles FBI, tackled a huge pedophile ring that surfaced in 1982 with the disappearance of a 12-year-old boy in Des Moines, Iowa, the Johnny Gosch case. He uncovered some very grim statistics after years of investigation. He revealed that there are 4 to 5 million practicing Satanists in the U.S., particularly within the CIA, that there are 83 children abducted every hour in the United States. That's 1,992 per day, 727,000 per year. 50 to 60,000 sacrificed each year in satanic rituals. That's 150 a day. Everybody should be shocked. Ironically, Ted was poisoned with arsenic as he publicly began speaking about chemtrails. He died for the children of America. The Franklin cover-up scandal erupted in 1989 in Nebraska. Through the efforts of former U.S. Congressman John DeCamp, whose investigation went all the way to the Bush White House. Former director of the CIA, William Colby, wrote the introduction and died under very mysterious circumstances. DeCamp recounts a conversation he had with Colby. This is what Colby said. What you have to understand, John, is that sometimes there are forces and events too big, too powerful, with so much at stake for other people or institutions that you cannot do anything about them, no matter how evil or wrong they are, and no matter how dedicated or sincere you are or how much evidence you have. That is simply one of the hard facts of life you have to face. You've done your part. You've tried to expose the evil and wrongdoing, and it's hurt you terribly. But it has not killed you up to this point. I'm telling you, get out of this before it does. Sometimes things are just too big for us to deal with, and we have to step aside and let history take its course. For you, John, this is one of those times, end quote. Well, DeCamp courageously argued back. But Bill, somebody has to do something. The problem here is that our institutions of government have been corrupted. If there is a cover-up, and I now absolutely believe there is, even though originally I thought this whole Franklin story had to be a fantasy, then that cover-up can only take place with the cooperation and even the active assistance of some of our key institutions of government, from the courts to the cops, from the highest politicians to the media representatives to the wealthy business leaders of our community and country. I can't believe what you're telling me, Bill. Are you saying I should just lay it down and walk away from this when I know kids are being abused and killed, when I know our most respected citizens and business leaders are up to their eyebrows in drug dealing and official corruption? When every bone in my body tells me that evil is triumphing and everybody who is anybody is scared beanless to do something about it, for fear of one thing or another. How can any honest or intelligent person do this? If I or someone like me do not keep pursuing this, then who will? And if we quit now, then what? If ever, will the truth come out and something to be done about this evil and this corruption? End quote. And I ask you, my fellow identity Christians, can we do something about this evil? The answer is yes, because the Bible has provisions to deal with these kind of things. Our campaign is fought and won in God's courtroom. I talked with Pastor Everett Ramsey the other night about our campaign because he initiated the Court of Divine Justice in 1984, going to the steps of county courthouses in cases which extreme injustice was being wielded by judges who really had no business deciding right or wrong. His prayer teams of Christian men had their scriptural support and foundation in Psalms 35, 58, which we read this morning, and 109. They produced results. Several judges with hardened hearts had heart attacks. One was bucked off his horse and landed on his head. Others began to see the light and started dismissing cases. One thing he stressed to me on the phone was his concern for the church and the myriad of pastors who must come out of the modern Babylon. Now, the word church is better understood to mean the ecclesia, or called out ones rather than a building or a place. It is the people of God who need Christ to call them and be chosen for service. Our campaign could be a massive calling which requires nothing more than collectively humbling ourselves, acknowledging nothing is impossible with God to correct his people. Unfortunately, we know that many are called, but few are chosen. And thus a remnant is found in Christian identity to exercise their calling. And what a white privilege it is to humbly serve in the healing of our land. To date, WikiLeaks has published over 10 million emails without a single fake. And so far, no one has officially contested the validity of the leaked emails. So let's review with a short synopsis. Since 1980, there's been a huge global pedophile network that reaches to the very highest levels of church, by that I mean Catholic, church and state, in state and national parameters. Previous investigations have been silenced by federal and local law enforcement. The emails that have become public are loaded with obvious and known pedophile code words. Pastor Elmore gave us a synopsis of those code words a couple of months ago. But the mainstream media is blatantly ignoring this epic scandal as much as possible. I don't have time or space to relay the preponderance of exhibits should Pizzagate ever go to trial, but here's a PDF. Can't give it to you here in church. You'll have to go on your computer. That should convince anyone. You might also recall that damning evidence was retrieved from former Jewish Congressman Anthony Weiner's laptop, whose wife is Saudi Arabian, having ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, was alleged lesbian lover and aide to Hillary Clinton, posing serious breaches in national security. His computer had emails to the effect of having liaisons with convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, another Jew billionaire, who ran the Lolita Express, jetting high-profile clients to a place called Orgy Island. I won't bore you with the gory details. But Wiener's emails reveal that Bill Clinton went there more than 20 times, and Hillary went there at least 6 times. The New York Police Department has possession of these documents and wanted to do a press conference announcing the warrants and forthcoming arrests, but all of a sudden there was a tremendous pushback to the point of coercion from the Obama Justice Department. A decade ago, Christians were abhorred at the prospect of same-sex marriages and couldn't imagine what's next. Well, the next abomination is here, and it's the rationalization for pedophilia. And they're using the same kind of propaganda to persuade an anesthetized public that good is evil and evil is good. And it's all through the courtesy of the mainstream media, bringing in eggheads and experts saying it's all quite normal. Well, let us pray that these deviant aberrations are destroyed. If Christians only knew, you know, somebody, how could a Anthony Weiner, a Jew, marry an Arab Muslim? Well, if Christians only knew that Judaism and Islam both sanction pedophilia in their Talmud and their Quran. And it's certainly not sanctioned in the Bible. And we've let them into our once great Christian nation. America can be great again if we purge them, as Europe did centuries ago. God told us that if they dwell in our land, they shall become as snares. For those who have never fasted, please be informed of the do's and don'ts, especially if you have medical conditions. It is entirely optional and not a prerequisite to participate. This campaign is to show our heart and soul in God's court. We are prosecutors asking for God's judgment towards his enemies and mercy to his children. 40 days is a long time to fast, and I would only recommend it to those who have experience fasting at length. For those who want to try it for the first time, be advised that the first 2 or 3 days, you'll be detoxifying and feeling a little dizzy and might have headaches. This shall pass. It's okay. In fact, you should drink water as you don't want to dehydrate. When you come off the fast, do not drink or eat a heavy meal of meats or food that takes time to digest. Your digestive system will be resting for the duration of the fast. I suggest a bowl of clear vegetable broth or a light soup with very little chewing. I'd like to furnish, in conclusion here, a template prayer for daily imprecatories that you can add to your regular prayers. You can modify it any way you see fit. I encourage all participants to pray for anything that I've left out of this presentation, which is germane to fake news and pedophilia. In fact, we will have a live call-in show the Saturday before May 1st. I also hope to be with William Fink this Saturday, his broadcast on March 11th, discussing the advantages and blessings of this endeavor. So the following is our prayer offering, pleading in the court of divine justice. Father in heaven, if we may approach thy throne and wisdom, we are grateful to have our great intercessor in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many believe we are in the times of Jacob's trouble. And indeed, we are troubled by wicked adversaries. Many of our troubles are self-inflicted. And we confess our faults for abandoning the law. There is sin in the camp, and we are a scattered people, having mixed with forbidden aliens and blending their strange gods on hallowed ground with the faith of our fathers. We should never have other gods or idols of the heart before or above the mighty God of Israel. Forgive us our trespasses. Say to your people, Lord, I am your salvation. And let your people hear and obey your good news. Malicious witnesses have risen and are a terror to the good. They seemingly lie with impunity for our hurt. They exalt the lust of the flesh, and the shepherds are silent. The scribes actively disarm the whole armor of God. They falsely accuse us of arming ourselves with the good news as hate-filled. Lord, you know that we've been under duress for many years because your people have fallen away from your authority. A remnant of Israel begs for restoration. Revive our race and curse those who curse us. We pray that you gather your people together to petition this court for righteousness and deliver us from the scourge of kidnappers and their defenders. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Let vengeance be yours. Amen.